Welcome to the Galleria dell'Accademia. Today with EU Tours and Travel Group we'll go through one of the most renowned and historically significant museums in Florence. We're excited to have you with us today, as we embark on a journey through this treasure trove of art and history. Whether you're an art lover or someone simply curious about the legacy of the Renaissance, the Galleria dell'Accademia is sure to captivate you with its remarkable collection. This museum is not only a place to admire exquisite works of art, but it also serves as a reminder of the profound impact that Florence has had on the world of culture, education, and artistic innovation. Located in the heart of the city, it holds a collection that spans centuries, offering a window into the evolution of art, sculpture, and craftsmanship that took place during one of the most transformative periods in human history. The Galleria dell'Accademia was founded in 1784 by Pietro Leopoldo, the Grand Duke of Tuscany. Its establishment was a significant step in the development of art education in the region. Originally, the museum was not conceived as a gallery for the public, but rather as part of the Academy of Fine Arts in Florence. The purpose of the Galleria was to serve as a teaching space for students, an environment where aspiring artists could study the great masterpieces of earlier periods. The idea was to provide a source of inspiration and a practical model for the young students learning the art of painting and sculpture. Over time, however, the Galleria's collection expanded and evolved, and it became much more than just an educational tool. Today, it stands as one of Italy's most important museums, showcasing some of the finest artworks from the Renaissance and beyond. The museum's educational roots are still evident, as it remains a place for study and artistic exploration, not only for visitors but also for scholars and students who come to deepen their understanding of art history. As we make our way through the museum, you'll encounter masterpieces that span a wide range of artistic movements and periods. One of the most famous and admired works in the entire museum, and one of the world's most iconic sculptures, is Michelangelo's David. Created between 1501 and 1504, this monumental marble statue captures the biblical hero David in the moment before his battle with the giant Goliath. Its flawless proportions and exquisite detail embody the height of Renaissance sculpture, making it a must-see for anyone visiting Florence. But Michelangelo's David is far from the only highlight here. The Galleria dell'Accademia houses an impressive collection of early Renaissance art, including works from some of the most important and influential artists of the period. Artists like Sandro Botticelli, Filippo Lippi, and Fra Angelico helped shape the trajectory of Italian painting, and you'll see examples of their work as we move through the galleries. In addition to its renowned collection of paintings and sculptures, the museum also has a fascinating collection of musical instruments. This is a reminder that the Galleria dell'Accademia is not just about visual art, it's also a celebration of the rich cultural heritage of Florence and Tuscany. These instruments, many of which were crafted by renowned luthiers, offer insight into the musical traditions that have flourished in this region for centuries. This audio guide will lead you through the galleries in chronological order, starting with some of the earliest works in the collection, and progressing through the Renaissance masterpieces that shaped the course of Western art. We will also dive into the world of Michelangelo's sculptures, explore the works of other great artists, and take a look at how art evolved as the centuries passed. By the end of this tour, you will have gained a deeper understanding of the history of art in Florence and how this city played a central role in shaping the cultural landscape of Europe. We invite you to explore at your own pace, allowing yourself to fully immerse in the beauty and history of these incredible works of art. You may wish to spend more time with certain pieces or move through others quickly. The beauty of this self-guided experience is that you're free to engage with the museum in whatever way feels most comfortable to you. The museum's layout and atmosphere encourage quiet reflection, and we hope that you'll find moments of inspiration as you move through each gallery. Thank you once again for choosing to explore the Galleria dell'Accademia with EU Tours. We're delighted to share this journey with you, and we're sure that the incredible artworks you'll see today will leave a lasting impression. So, let's begin our tour with a look at some of the earliest pieces in the collection, and start our journey through the heart of one of the world's greatest artistic treasures. As you step into the Galleria dell'Accademia, you are immediately greeted by the grandeur of its entrance hall, setting the tone for your visit. This is a space that speaks to the museum's history and purpose, with its classical design and welcoming atmosphere. The entrance hall is characterized by soaring ceilings, elegant arches, and a sense of open space, which invites you to pause and take in the surroundings. The walls are adorned with a selection of early Renaissance sculptures and frescoes, offering you a glimpse of the wealth of artistic treasures that lie ahead. Looking around, you'll notice the classical architectural style, typical of many of Florence's grand buildings. The simple yet refined design of the hall draws your eyes upward to the high vaulted ceiling, where you might see intricate details that reflect the influence of Roman and Renaissance architectural traditions. The symmetry of the space enhances the sense of order and harmony that was central to Renaissance ideals, a period when the quest for beauty and perfection took center stage in both art and architecture. From the entrance hall, you'll move into the first gallery, which offers an introductory view of the museum's remarkable collection. This is where the early Renaissance period comes to life in vivid detail, with a mixture of paintings, sculptures, and other historical pieces that showcase the origins of Italian Renaissance art. The early Renaissance, spanning roughly from the 14th to the early 15th century, was a period of immense change and experimentation. It marked the revival of classical ideals, the rediscovery of ancient Greek and Roman art, and a renewed focus on humanism, the belief in the potential of human beings to achieve greatness in various fields, including art, science, and philosophy. As you walk through the first gallery, take note of the rich variety of art forms on display. This space offers a diverse selection of works that demonstrate the transition from medieval religious iconography to the more naturalistic and human-centered approaches of the Renaissance. Here, you will encounter paintings, sculptures, and altarpieces that reflect the evolving artistic style of the time. Among the highlights of the first gallery is a group of early Renaissance paintings, which are characterized by their attention to perspective, proportion, and the study of human anatomy. These works mark a departure from the more symbolic and stylized depictions of the medieval period, embracing a more realistic representation of the human figure and the world around them. Artists like Giovanni da Fiesole, also known as Fra Angelico, and Andrea del Castagno use techniques like linear perspective and chiaroscuro to create depth and dimension in their paintings, bringing a new level of sophistication to the art of the time. In addition to the paintings, you'll also encounter sculptures that exemplify the early Renaissance's growing mastery of the human form. These works demonstrate the shift from rigid, formulaic representations to more lifelike and expressive figures. The artists of this period were deeply influenced by the study of classical antiquity, and their sculptures reflect a renewed interest in the beauty and idealized proportions of the human body. For example, in this first gallery, you might find works like Street Matthew by Michelangelo, a striking unfinished marble statue that showcases his skill in creating dynamic, lifelike forms. Another aspect of this gallery is its collection of historical artifacts and religious pieces, which offer insight into the spiritual and cultural context of the time. These works, which range from ornate altarpieces to devotional objects, provide a window into the religious practices and beliefs that influenced much of the art produced during the early Renaissance. As you continue your exploration of this first gallery, take time to observe how these early works of art reflect the evolving attitudes of the time. The artists were no longer focused solely on religious themes. Rather, they began to explore the human experience in a broader sense, infusing their works with greater emotional depth and psychological insight. The early Renaissance was a time when art was becoming more individualistic, with artists beginning to assert their own creativity and vision while still adhering to the established techniques and themes of the time. The diversity of works in the first gallery gives you a unique opportunity to see the broad range of artistic experimentation that took place during this fascinating period. It's a space where you can reflect on how these early pieces laid the foundation for the later masterpieces of the Renaissance, setting the stage for the explosion of creativity that would follow. In this first part of the Galleria dell'Accademia, you're not just encountering a static collection of art, you're stepping into the unfolding story of an era that would change the course of history. The early Renaissance was a time of rediscovery, innovation, and a renewed interest in the potential of the human spirit. As you continue through the museum, you will see how this spirit of exploration and artistic ambition only grew stronger, paving the way for the incredible achievements of artists like Leonardo da Vinci, Raphael, and Michelangelo. So, as you take in the works in this gallery, consider how these early pieces reflect the cultural, intellectual, and social shifts that were taking place in Florence and across Italy. The first gallery offers a perfect introduction to the art and ideas that would define the Renaissance and help shape the modern world. Let's continue on, and as we move further into the museum, we'll begin to explore more works that illustrate the flourishing of Renaissance art in all its glory. As you step into the Hall of Michelangelo's sculptures, you enter one of the most remarkable spaces in the entire museum. This gallery is dedicated entirely to the genius of Michelangelo, one of the greatest artists to have ever lived, and it contains some of his most iconic works. The centerpiece of this hall is undoubtedly Michelangelo's David, a towering symbol of the Renaissance, strength, and the city of Florence itself. Standing at an imposing 5.17 meters tall, David commands immediate attention. The statue is carved from pristine white marble, and its presence is almost overwhelming as it seems to breathe life into the room. The figure of David is depicted just before his battle with Goliath, with a look of intense focus and determination etched across his youthful face. Unlike the traditional portrayal of the biblical hero, often seen after his victory, Michelangelo has chosen to represent David at the moment of preparation, as he eyes his mighty adversary, the giant Goliath. This moment of stillness before action imbues the statue with a sense of emotional tension, making it not just a portrayal of physical beauty but an exploration of human potential, resolve, and the quiet strength found in moments of anticipation. The statue's sheer size is awe-inspiring. Michelangelo's David was originally intended to stand atop the Florence Cathedral, but upon completion, it was placed in the Piazza della Signoria, in front of the Palazzo Vecchio, as a symbol of the city's power and resilience. Florence at the time was a republic fiercely protective of its independence, and David quickly became a symbol of the city's strength, standing up to more powerful enemies just as the biblical David did. Florence's association with David lies in the message that even though the city was small and seemingly vulnerable in comparison to its larger rivals, it possessed the same courage, fortitude, and determination that made David triumph against the giant. The statue thus transcends its biblical context, becoming a broader emblem of civic pride and independence, especially in a city that was undergoing an intense cultural and political transformation during the Renaissance. Moving closer to the sculpture, it's impossible to ignore the technical mastery that Michelangelo displayed in the depiction of the human form. Every muscle, vein, and sinew is perfectly rendered, a testament to the artist's deep understanding of human anatomy. Michelangelo's study of the human body was unmatched for his time, and David is perhaps the best demonstration of his ability to capture both the proportions and emotional tension of the human figure. His meticulous attention to detail in David reflects his belief in the perfection of the human form, a key tenet of Renaissance thought that placed a focus on humanity's potential for greatness. The figure's idealized proportions, from the stretch of the arms to the curve of the torso, demonstrate not only the artist's technical skill but also his philosophical approach to art. David's right hand, for instance, is noticeably larger than the left, perhaps to emphasize his strength, or possibly to show the tension in his grip as he prepares to face his enemy. Equally fascinating are the unfinished works of Michelangelo housed in this gallery, his series of sculptures known as the Prisoners or Slaves. These works are often described as being in a state of incompletion, as many of them were left deliberately unfinished by the artist. The prisoners are characterized by their raw, unrefined forms, figures partially freed from the marble block, their bodies emerging from the stone as if struggling to break free. These unfinished pieces challenge the traditional notion of a completed sculpture and allow us to glimpse the artist's process. In some ways, the slaves seem to represent the struggle of the human spirit to escape from the constraints of material existence. They are not merely unfinished sculptures but are meant to convey a deep philosophical and psychological state, embodying a sense of entrapment and yearning for freedom. In Michelangelo's world, the process of freeing the form from the marble was not just technical, it was symbolic of the soul's struggle for enlightenment and release from earthly bounds. These works, though incomplete, are full of emotion, capturing the paradox of human experience, the desire to be free even while still bound by material constraints. As you move deeper into the hall, you will also encounter one of Michelangelo's most famous sculptures, Pietà, a marble masterpiece that was completed in Michelangelo's early years. This work, which depicts the Virgin Mary holding the body of Christ after the crucifixion, is often considered one of the most emotionally intense pieces ever created. The sculpture portrays an intimate moment of grief, yet it is also infused with an extraordinary sense of grace. Michelangelo's mastery of the marble medium allowed him to achieve a smoothness and delicacy in the texture of the flesh, making the figures appear almost lifelike. The sorrow of Mary is evident in her gentle, resigned expression, while the body of Christ is depicted with startling realism, his lifeless form evoking both pity and reverence. Despite the grief represented in the piece, there is a sense of peaceful acceptance in the way Mary cradles Christ, offering a profound message of grace and eternal love. The Pietà also marks Michelangelo's early mastery of composition, as the figure of Christ fits almost perfectly within the lap of the Virgin, creating a harmonious balance between the two figures. At just 24 years of age, Michelangelo's ability to render such a delicate and emotionally charged scene with such precision and poise is a testament to his unparalleled skill and artistic maturity. These works, when viewed in their entirety, reflect Michelangelo's broader philosophical beliefs, which were deeply influenced by both Renaissance humanism and his own personal spiritual convictions. Michelangelo's art is not just a representation of the human form, it is an exploration of the human condition, a conversation between the material and the divine. His sculptures, particularly David, the Pietà, and the Prisoners, reveal his preoccupation with the soul's struggle, the relationship between the physical and the spiritual, and the idea of artistic creation as a form of liberation, both for the artist and for the viewer. Michelangelo's works are not just visual representations, they are profound statements about life, death, and transcendence, inviting us to consider the deeper meaning behind every chisel mark, every detail, and every gesture. As you stand before these masterpieces, take a moment to reflect on how they encapsulate the very essence of the Renaissance, a period that sought to elevate humanity to new heights of intellectual, artistic, and spiritual achievement. Michelangelo's work, with its focus on human strength, grace, and emotion, provides a perfect window into the philosophy and ideals that defined this transformative era in history. As you continue through the Galleria dell'Accademia, you move into the section dedicated to some of the early Renaissance's greatest masters. These works offer a vivid snapshot of the intellectual and artistic shifts that characterized this crucial period of history. The early Renaissance was marked by a growing interest in humanism, the study of the human form, and an increasing exploration of perspective and light. The following works by Fra Angelico, Filippo Lippi, and Sandro Botticelli not only reflect these shifts but also reveal how each artist contributed to the broader cultural transformation taking place in Florence during the 15th century. First, let's focus on the Coronation of the Virgin by Fra Angelico, one of the most renowned and spiritually devout artists of the early Renaissance. Fra Angelico's style is characterized by its ethereal, heavenly quality, and the Coronation of the Virgin is a prime example of this. The work depicts the Virgin Mary, crowned by Christ in a celestial setting. The scene is set within a grand, yet serene architectural backdrop, with heavenly figures arranged in a harmonious and organized way. Fra Angelico's work is unique in its spiritual intensity. He was a monk who believed that his paintings were acts of devotion, and this is evident in the way he treated sacred subjects. The use of color in this piece is particularly striking. Fra Angelico was known for his rich, vibrant palette, with an emphasis on bright blues, golds, and reds, which create a sense of divine light. These colors are not just for decoration, they symbolize different aspects of the spiritual realm. The gold, for instance, reflects the eternal light of heaven, while the deep blue of the Virgin's robe represents her purity. Fra Angelico's delicate application of paint, combined with the soft, almost translucent quality of his figures, creates an otherworldly atmosphere, bringing a sense of divine grace to the viewer. Unlike the more naturalistic works that were emerging during this time, Fra Angelico's paintings emphasize the transcendence of the divine and the spiritual world. His work speaks to the desire to transport the viewer into a realm beyond the material, highlighting the religious devotion that underpinned much of Renaissance art. Moving from Fra Angelico's celestial scene, we come to the more humanistic and naturalistic world of Filippo Lippi. Lippi's Madonna and Child offers a stark contrast in style and tone. Where Fra Angelico's work transports us into the spiritual realm, Lippi's work invites us into a more intimate, human space. This piece, which features the Virgin Mary tenderly holding the Christ child, is marked by a naturalistic portrayal of the figures and their emotions. Unlike earlier, more rigid depictions of the Madonna, Lippi's Virgin is soft, approachable, and grounded in the natural world. The flesh tones, the folds of the fabric, and the realistic portrayal of the figures convey a sense of warmth and humanity. Lippi's mastery of light and shadow also enhances the realism of the scene. He carefully models the forms of the figures, giving them volume and weight, and captures the delicate play of light on their faces and clothing. The Madonna and Child are not placed in a highly idealized or abstracted space, but rather in an environment that feels both real and intimate. There's a sense of tenderness in the way the Virgin holds the Child, a departure from the more distant, formal renderings of religious figures seen in earlier medieval art. Lippi's work reflects the growing Renaissance fascination with the natural world, as well as the idea that the divine could be present in the human experience. Next, we encounter the work of Sandro Botticelli, one of the most famous and influential artists of the early Renaissance. Botticelli's works, including those found in the Galleria dell'Accademia, offer a perfect example of the era's growing focus on idealized beauty, anatomical accuracy, and the depiction of the human form. Botticelli's The Virgin and Child is a beautiful example of his skill in combining religious themes with a sense of grace and naturalism. The Virgin Mary is depicted in an idealized manner, with soft, flowing robes and delicate features, while the Christ child is rendered with a sense of both innocence and divine potential. One of Botticelli's trademarks is the grace with which he renders the human figure. His work often evokes a sense of fluidity and elegance, and his figures are characterized by elongated proportions and harmonious forms. The Virgin's posture is fluid and gentle, with an idealized, almost ethereal quality that suggests purity and grace. The Child, too, is rendered with a tenderness that emphasizes the deep emotional bond between mother and son. Botticelli's depiction of the Virgin and Child is not just a religious image, but also an exploration of the beauty and humanity of the figures involved. His art represents a marriage of religious subject matter with an increasing focus on the human experience and its emotional depth. Botticelli's contributions to the early Renaissance are also evident in his use of space and perspective. While still retaining the traditional flattened compositions of earlier periods, Botticelli's works begin to show an increased interest in creating a sense of depth, with the figures arranged more naturally within the space. This shift reflects the broader trends of the Renaissance, where artists sought to replicate the natural world in more accurate ways through techniques such as linear perspective and foreshortening. These works by Fra Angelico, Filippo Lippi, and Botticelli are not only visually stunning but also provide insight into the intellectual currents of the time. They represent a shift away from the more stylized and symbolic art of the Middle Ages, moving toward a more human-centered, naturalistic approach. This transformation was driven by the rising tide of humanism, a philosophical movement that emphasized the value of the individual, the study of classical antiquity, and the belief in the potential for human greatness. Each of these artists contributed to this shift in unique ways, whether by exploring the spiritual in a more ethereal manner, portraying the divine in a more intimate and humanized light, or idealizing the human form with an unprecedented sense of grace and beauty. As you view these works, consider how they reflect the broader cultural and intellectual changes taking place in Florence during the 15th century. The artists of the early Renaissance were not only interested in representing religious themes, they were also deeply engaged in exploring the nature of humanity, the beauty of the human form, and the ways in which art could communicate the emotions and experiences of the people it depicted. Through their work, they laid the groundwork for the explosion of creativity that would define the Renaissance, making these pieces essential in understanding the larger cultural context of the time. Through the Galleria dell'Accademia, you will encounter a fascinating transition in artistic style, from the harmonious balance and idealized beauty of the Renaissance to the more emotional, exaggerated forms of mannerism. This shift reflects broader changes in society, religion, and politics during the late 16th century. Artists like Giorgio Vasari played a key role in this transformation, pushing the boundaries of artistic expression and experimenting with new ways to convey emotion and drama in their works. The Renaissance, which emphasized proportion, balance, and harmony, was gradually replaced by mannerism, a style that embraced distortion, elongated forms, and an emphasis on artificiality over naturalism. This shift was not just a change in aesthetics, it was also a response to the turbulence of the time. The political instability of Italy during the 16th century, combined with the religious upheaval of the Protestant Reformation and the Counter-Reformation, led many artists to move away from the calm, idealized world of the Renaissance toward a more complex, emotionally charged style. Giorgio Vasari, one of the key figures of this period, is often considered a pioneer of mannerism. His Last Supper, housed in the Galleria dell'Accademia, offers a perfect example of the new style. While still grounded in religious subject matter, Vasari's depiction of this iconic scene from Christ's final meal with his disciples is markedly different from earlier Renaissance interpretations. The figures in Vasari's composition are elongated, with exaggerated proportions that convey a heightened sense of tension and emotion. The bodies appear more stretched and contorted, creating a sense of instability that was characteristic of mannerism. Another notable feature of Vasari's Last Supper is the dramatic use of perspective. Rather than employing the calm, orderly perspective seen in Renaissance works, Vasari distorts the space in a way that makes the viewer feel as if they are entering a world that is unbalanced and unsettling. The composition is dynamic, with swirling movements and figures positioned in ways that suggest unease, even though the subject matter itself, the Last Supper, is a moment of divine peace and grace. This tension between the subject and the form is a hallmark of mannerism, which sought to create a more emotional and theatrical atmosphere than the controlled rationality of the Renaissance. The shift toward mannerism was not only an artistic evolution but also a reaction to the changing socio-political and religious landscape of Europe. The late 16th century was a period of great uncertainty. In Italy, the political fragmentation of the city-states and the growing power of foreign rulers created a sense of chaos. The Protestant Reformation, which began in the early 1500s, challenged the authority of the Catholic Church, leading to the Counter-Reformation and a renewed focus on religious fervor. In this context, many artists sought to express the inner turmoil and spiritual struggle of the era. Mannerism, with its emphasis on exaggerated forms and emotional intensity, was a way for artists to reflect the psychological complexity and instability of the time. Vasari, in particular, was influenced by the social and religious atmosphere of his day. As a historian and painter, he sought to elevate art to a higher intellectual level, positioning it as a means of expressing the emotional and spiritual challenges of the time. In his Last Supper, we can see this effort to explore deeper emotional states, portraying not just the physical actions of the apostles but also their inner turmoil and psychological conflict. This psychological depth was a departure from the more serene and stable figures of the Renaissance, and it reflected a shift toward more personal, introspective art. The Mannerist style also paved the way for the Baroque movement, which would come to dominate art in the 17th century. While Mannerism was often seen as a reaction against the harmony and proportion of the Renaissance, it was also an important precursor to the Baroque, which would take the emotional intensity and drama of mannerism to new heights. The Baroque era, influenced by the Counter-Reformation, was marked by a desire to awe and inspire the viewer, using art to evoke strong emotional responses. In many ways, Vasari and his contemporaries laid the groundwork for this development by experimenting with dynamic compositions, exaggerated forms, and dramatic effects. In conclusion, the transition from the Renaissance to the Baroque, exemplified by artists like Giorgio Vasari, represents a fundamental shift in the way art was conceived and executed. While the Renaissance focused on idealized beauty, balance, and harmony, mannerism embraced exaggeration, emotional intensity, and complexity. Vasari's Last Supper captures this shift, demonstrating how artists responded to the changing political, religious, and social dynamics of the time. It was a period of experimentation and innovation, one that would eventually lead to the grandeur and drama of the Baroque movement. The mannerist works you see in this part of the Galleria dell'Accademia are crucial to understanding this transformation and offer a fascinating glimpse into the artistic challenges and opportunities of the late 16th century. Building on the transition from mannerism to the Baroque, another significant force that shaped the direction of art during this period was the Counter-Reformation. The Counter-Reformation, which began as a response to the Protestant Reformation, aimed to reinforce the authority of the Catholic Church and reinvigorate Catholic faith through the arts. This movement had a profound impact on artistic expression, encouraging a shift toward emotional intensity, dramatic depictions, and direct engagement with the viewer. It was a time when the Church sought to make its religious messages more compelling, visually captivating, and emotionally charged to inspire devotion and reaffirm its power. As the Catholic Church faced the challenge of addressing the growing Protestant criticism, it realized the importance of art in influencing the masses and strengthening faith. One of the key goals of the Counter-Reformation was to create art that would stir the viewers' emotions and engage them on a personal level. Religious themes, which had been central to art throughout the Renaissance, were now depicted in a much more dramatic, intense manner. The use of light and shadow, for example, was employed to heighten the emotional effect of the scene, drawing the viewer's eye to the most significant aspects of the composition and creating a sense of immediacy and intimacy. This approach marked a departure from the balanced, harmonious compositions of the Renaissance and aligned with the more theatrical, immersive qualities of the Baroque style that would soon emerge. One of the most influential artists in this new wave of religious art was Caravaggio. Known for his innovative use of chiaroscuro, a technique that contrasts light and dark to create dramatic effects, Caravaggio revolutionized how religious stories were portrayed. His works often depicted biblical scenes with an unprecedented level of realism, bringing religious figures into the everyday world. By using common people as models and placing sacred subjects in mundane settings, Caravaggio made the divine feel immediate, human, and relatable. His ability to create a sense of intense realism, combined with the emotional depth of his figures, allowed viewers to engage with the artwork in a way that was both visceral and intimate. Caravaggio's influence extended beyond just his use of light and shadow. His dramatic portrayals of religious subjects captured raw human emotion, often emphasizing moments of intense suffering, redemption, or divine intervention. For example, in works like The Supper at Emmaus and The Calling of Saint Matthew, Caravaggio presents scenes from the Bible that are infused with a sense of urgency, drawing viewers into the moment. The figures in his paintings are often depicted with such intensity that they seem to come alive, creating a connection between the viewer and the sacred narrative. His dramatic lighting creates a sense of depth and contrast, which enhances the emotional impact of the scene and underscores the spirituality of the moment. The development of Baroque art, which would dominate the 17th century, can be seen as a natural extension of the religious themes and dramatic approaches initiated during the Counter-Reformation. In the Baroque era, artists not only embraced the emotional intensity and realism of the Counter-Reformation but also expanded on these ideas, employing grandiose compositions, sweeping curves, and dynamic movement to evoke awe and wonder in the viewer. The use of light, shadow, and color became even more refined, and religious themes were often depicted on a larger, more elaborate scale, designed to overwhelm the senses and encourage profound spiritual reflection. In summary, the Counter-Reformation had a transformative effect on art, pushing artists to create works that were emotionally intense, direct, and immersive. Through the use of dramatic light and shadow, a focus on realism, and an emphasis on emotional engagement, artists sought to bring religious subjects to life in a way that would resonate deeply with viewers. The influence of the Counter-Reformation can be seen in the rise of Baroque art, which would carry these principles to new heights. Figures like Caravaggio exemplified this new approach to art, where the boundaries between the divine and the human became blurred, and the viewer was invited into a more immediate and personal engagement with the sacred. This period in art history represents a powerful fusion of religion, emotion, and realism, setting the stage for the grandeur and dramatic flair of the Baroque movement. The Medici family's legacy in Florence is nothing short of monumental, as their influence shaped not only the city itself but also the course of Western art and culture. During the Renaissance, the Medici family was instrumental in transforming Florence into a cultural and artistic powerhouse, creating an environment where intellectual and artistic innovation flourished. As patrons of the arts, they provided vital support to some of the most celebrated artists in history, ensuring that Florence would become synonymous with the artistic achievements of the Renaissance. The Medici were not merely wealthy benefactors, they were visionaries who recognized the profound power of art as a tool for expressing political, religious, and cultural ideals. By funding art and architecture, they solidified their status as influential leaders, but more importantly, they set the stage for the creation of groundbreaking works that would redefine the course of European art. Their patronage enabled artists like Michelangelo, Botticelli, and Filippo Lippi to create masterpieces that continue to be celebrated today. The Medici family's support was essential in allowing these artists to experiment with new techniques, explore humanist ideals, and push the boundaries of art during a time of remarkable cultural upheaval. The Medici family's involvement with Michelangelo is perhaps the most famous example of their patronage. They were responsible for commissioning many of his works, including the Sistine Chapel's iconic ceiling, which would later become one of the greatest masterpieces of Western art. The Medici recognized Michelangelo's exceptional talent early on and supported him throughout his career, providing him with the resources and freedom to create works of unparalleled beauty and depth. Without the Medici family's backing, it is unlikely that Michelangelo would have been able to achieve the level of success that he did. Similarly, the Medici played a crucial role in the early careers of artists such as Sandro Botticelli, whose ethereal works like The Birth of Venus and Primavera remain cornerstones of Renaissance art. Botticelli's delicate approach to the human form and his exploration of mythological subjects were nurtured by the Medici's patronage, allowing him to develop a distinctive style that continues to captivate audiences. Botticelli's close connection to the Medici family was also reflected in his personal life, as he was part of the intellectual and artistic circles they fostered in Florence. Equally significant was the Medici's support of Filippo Lippi, whose Madonna and child pieces became iconic representations of maternal tenderness and religious devotion. Lippi's ability to infuse religious themes with intimate humanism resonated deeply with the Medici family's vision of art as a reflection of both divine and human beauty. His works, supported by the Medici, blended traditional religious iconography with the new ideals of Renaissance realism, contributing to the transformation of religious art during this time. Florence during the Medici era was not just a city of patronage but also a thriving hub of intellectual and artistic experimentation. Artists, philosophers, architects, and scholars gathered in Florence, where they debated ideas, shared knowledge, and collaborated on groundbreaking works. The Medici family's support of humanist ideals, emphasizing the value of the individual, the study of classical antiquity, and the importance of knowledge and learning, was reflected in the art produced during this period. Florence became a center for the study of perspective, anatomy, and proportion, where artists like Leonardo da Vinci, Raphael, and Michelangelo explored new ways to represent the human form, space, and light. The Medici were also instrumental in the development of new artistic techniques. With their patronage, artists were able to experiment with oil painting, enhance their understanding of linear perspective, and perfect their studies of the human body. These innovations laid the foundation for the future of Western art, influencing generations of artists across Europe. The Medici's role in promoting artistic and intellectual pursuits was integral to the rise of the Renaissance, a period that would profoundly shape the trajectory of European culture for centuries to come. The long-lasting influence of the Medici family in shaping the course of Western art cannot be overstated. Through their patronage, they ensured that Florence remained a beacon of creativity and innovation. Their support allowed artists to push the boundaries of their craft, resulting in some of the most iconic works in the history of art. Even after the decline of the Medici family's political power, the legacy they created continued to reverberate through the centuries, influencing the development of art, architecture, and culture in Europe. In the end, the Medici family's role as patrons of the arts is one of the defining characteristics of the Renaissance. By fostering an environment of creativity, intellectual exchange, and artistic experimentation, they helped to shape the course of art history, leaving behind a legacy that still resonates today. The masterpieces created in Florence during the Medici era continue to inspire and captivate audiences, standing as testaments to the profound impact that one family can have on the cultural and artistic landscape of an entire era. As we come to the end of our journey through the Galleria dell'Accademia, we've had the privilege of exploring some of the most iconic works of art in the world, each telling a story of Florence's rich artistic heritage. From Michelangelo's magnificent David, a symbol of strength and independence, to the delicate works of Fra Angelico, Filippo Lippi, and Botticelli, we've seen the evolution of art through the Renaissance. The pieces in this museum, with their breathtaking beauty and profound emotional depth, reflect the humanism and balance that defined this golden age of creativity. We also delved into the transition that marked the shift from the Renaissance to the Baroque period, where the ideals of harmony and proportion gave way to more exaggerated, emotional expressions of light, shadow, and drama. Giorgio Vasari's Last Supper, for instance, illustrated how artists embraced mannerism, and later the Baroque artists like Caravaggio used intense realism to bring religious scenes to life in ways that had never been done before. Throughout this tour, we've witnessed how art evolved in response to changes in society, religion, and politics. The genius of the artists, supported by the Medici family, who made Florence a center of artistic innovation, has left a lasting legacy that continues to shape art today. Whether through the timeless elegance of Botticelli's figures or Michelangelo's unyielding pursuit of perfection in marble, the Galleria dell'Accademia stands as a testament to the creative spirit that defines Florence. We thank you for joining us on this exploration of Florence's treasures. As you reflect on the remarkable pieces you've encountered, we hope you take with you a deeper appreciation for the rich cultural and artistic history that has shaped not just this city but the entire world. We are grateful for your time and attention, and it's been our pleasure to guide you through this incredible museum. On behalf of EU Tours, we wish you a continued journey through Florence's wonders, whether you're wandering the streets, visiting more museums, or simply soaking in the beauty of this remarkable city. Thank you for booking with us, and we hope your time in Florence continues to inspire and enrich your experience.